To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land. Here age relives fond memories of the past, and here youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future. Disneyland is dedicated to the ideals, the dreams, and the hard facts that have created America, with the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world. Thank you.
Welcome back to The Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. To this day, Walt Disney's personal imprint remains firmly intact at Disneyland in Anaheim, California. A new book allows guests to immerse themselves in Disney's influence as they walk around Disneyland today. The book is Walt's Disneyland, A Walk in the Park with Walt Disney. The author is a Disney enthusiast and a Walt Disney expert. It is always great to say hello to Marcy Smothers. Hey, Marcy, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Ed. Thank you. Glad to be back.
It is great to have you on, as always. One of the things that first jumped out at me when I read the book, underneath the dedication, you write that you wrote this book in Walt's folksy style with simplicity in mind. Marcy, you have written and you've done a tremendous amount of work about Walt Disney and about Disneyland, but what was the inspiration for you to write this book, Walt's Disneyland?
Well, after Eat Like Walt was published, my mentor, to whom I've dedicated this book, Disney legend Jim Cora, and I were having lunch at our favorite spot in Orange near Disneyland, and he looks at me and he says, well, what's next, kid? And I had three ideas. I pitched them to him, but when I said I had this idea about writing a guidebook of sorts, a souvenir book, of Disneyland told through Walt's words, eyes, and heart, and those that helped him build and create Disneyland, he said, that's one, make it a priority, you got to do it. And immediately he started making connections to some more key people in order for me to be able to do that. Because my standard is, just like an Eat Like Walt, with Walt's Disneyland, mm-hmm. is that everybody knew Walt, no exceptions. You know, it's only first-person accounts. And also, because I love Disneyland so much, I really wanted to keep Walt in Disneyland. It's the only park in the world that he ever stepped in, played in, slept in, and his legacy is there if you know where to look. And I know for sure, at least in my opinion, you can feel the energy that Walt created all back mm-hmm. in 1955. Anytime you go in the Burm, as we call it, and into Disneyland, that magic is still there, and so much of it is what Walt created.
And it's interesting that you bring that up. I'm a person who grew up on the East Coast. And for us, vacations, Disney vacations, meant Walt Disney World in Florida. And when I first walked into Disneyland in 2019, actually 2018, then I went back in 2019, it's different. You're right, because he was there. He had such an interest in crafting everything that still exists to this day, and you can feel it and you can understand it. And this book is the perfect companion for the next time that you go to Disneyland. And the photography in this book is phenomenal. This is the most vivid historical presentation of Walt's influence on Disneyland that I have ever seen. Many full page, many full color pictures. There is one one of my favorites. It's page 115. It's a full-page picture. Walt is standing with the chairman of Bank of America at the opening of It's a Small World. It is a beautiful view of the approach to that ride, and it's a time capsule as well. Marcy, talk to me about the process of gathering and selecting the dozens of pictures in this book.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, the whole process just, you know, for me was 3 years in research and writing, and of course, a lot of it was done during the pandemic. So lucky for me, I had been in the archives twice and had received my scans in 2018. So I did have quite a bit of research from them. And then the same with my research books here at home in my personal library. Mm-hmm. When it came to the photographs, it's interesting because there's two parts to the photo library at Walt Disney Archives. There's the part that is digital and online. And there is the part that are the good old-fashioned three-ring binders of photographs that haven't yet been digitalized. So I was lucky to go there once. I would have liked to have had another trip, but the COVID prevented it. So honestly, I was just trying to find evocative images that made me smile. My barometer for the book, my books about Walt and Disneyland, are if it makes me cry or laugh out loud or smile, probably should go in because it's an evoking a response. Mm-hmm. I really want this book to be about feelings. So yeah, I mean, it was a long, but the photos in particular, if I didn't have, shout out to Mike Buckoff in the photo archives, I don't think I could do it, because sometimes I would ask, do you have this? Because I don't, you know, can you help me find something that it shows Walt on attractions? There's only so many photos of Walt at Disneyland, at least official photos that mm-hmm. Disney owns. So anyway, it was a blast, and part of it was matching the tone of the book that was important to me.
I just realized this. I don't think I've ever asked you this. Tell me about the first time you went to Disneyland.
Well, I don't know that I remember the first time, but Ed, I'm going back to that word.
Okay, you know what? Tell me one that you remember going to Disneyland.
Well, what I was going to say, though, is, because it's important to me, is it's that word that I keep using. The feeling is what I remember. Mm-hmm. So while I can't tell you the age I was, I can distinctly remember the feeling. And it was always one day a year. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. My grandparents took me. It was a huge treat. I would spend the night at their house before I would lay out my outfit. I wanted to be the first one among my cousins to scream, you know, I see the Matterhorn. And it was just pure, unadulterated joy. And when we arrived, I never wanted the day to end. And when we left at midnight, always, we got there probably an hour before the park, you know, that was my grandfather opened, and then we would stay till it closed. And I would be so tired. Distinctly recall being small and my grandfather carrying me back to the car. And we would get one treat. Mine was always chocolate fudge from the candy palace. So, yeah, no, that's what I remember is how it made me feel. And it still makes me feel this way all the way through the pandemic when I couldn't ride at Disneyland. I play Disneyland music. I have several playlists that gets me into that mood. So even if I can't be in the park, I can feel the park. And that is part of the reason for the book is I hope, thank you, what you said in your introduction, that people take it with them. That was really the point, that they could read about Walt and what he created and actually be there and looking at it. And the last point I'd like to say on that is, by design, I asked Disney to make it a paperback of that size so it would be portable and affordable. You know, it could have easily been another gorgeous coffee table book, but that was my call. And I noticed on Amazon and all the reviews, a lot of people say, I wish it were hardcover, and I appreciate that's a high compliment. But the point is to make it, get in people's hands, and for people to keep learning about Walt, for parents and families to keep sharing it with their kids.
And that is the point. And I'm glad you brought that up. This book is incredibly convenient, and it's very easy to just stick in the bag that day when you're going to go to the park. And that's how you enjoy this book, by enjoying Disneyland itself. And it will add to the experience of being there because you understand it a little more, because, you know, you may think you know about it, but when you can get a deeper appreciation from something as you're experiencing it, it just enhances the whole thing. And you mentioned about the feeling when you go to Disneyland, and this might be really corny, but I feel this too, even as a very grown-up adult. When you leave Disneyland, the feeling stays with you. You know, you don't just jump out on the 5 freeway and you forget about it. No. It stays with you for a couple of days after. And you can't get that feeling anywhere else, but it stays with you and it's palpable. And I'm glad you said that, because I knew it wasn't just me, but I'm glad somebody else actually just said it.
You know, Ed, Walt loved corny, by the way, and so do I. So we're in great company. And, you know, I think that's what we talk about is the memories at Disney parks, Disney cruises, Disney experiences, Disney movies. I mean, Walt had intended for you to have that feeling when you left the movie, too. You know, it's a pretty remarkable thing to be able to do. But at Disneyland, Walt Disney World, you know, it is creating memories. And I know a lot of people that only get to go one time a year, or grew up whichever park one time a year. And they were just like, fuel themselves up, like fill that battery to the top when they left. And it would, you know, the battery would hold them until 364 more days until they could get back and renew that feeling.
Indeed. Everything at Disneyland was and is designed with purpose. There is really no happenstance. You enter through a tunnel because Walt wanted you to feel as if you were truly entering a different place. The scaling of the buildings on Main Street, all done with a purpose. Marcy, why was attention to detail so important for Walt?
Well, I mean, that's where the story is, you know, and I mean, I think it really does go back to his cartoons and then his animated features, so that he realized all those layers just made for better storytelling. And, you know, details, and a lot of them you may not notice, and that's okay. And I think that's the fun of this book, is that you, to your point, you may think you know everything. And we know there's a lot of people in your audience who feel like experts, and I know that, and it's kind of a pride thing. My highest compliment comes from the people that worked with Walt and helped build Disneyland, or people that have been writing about the theme parks for all those years that say, oh, wait a minute, you're going to learn something. I promise that you're going to learn something. And it's because those details are like an onion, and you can just keep peeling them back and peeling them back. There's always something to learn, myself included. A book is never finished. It just goes to print. Mm-hmm. And since, you know, it did start printing, I have probably a file of 15 more things I've learned since then I wish I could have included.
Wow. Walt lived for 11 years after Disneyland opened, and he would visit very often because he wanted to know what people thought. He wanted to know what his guests felt about it. He was his own personal and perfect focus group, was he not?
Well, that's a really, really, really good point. Yes, because that's what the men and women that work with Walt would say, is he had this uncanny ability to know what the public would want. Mm-hmm. Again, with his movies, with Disneyland, and he would go to Disneyland to make sure that he knew what the public wanted by going in disguise. And he would walk around, and he would always wait in line, and he would listen. And there's one fun story of him being, I believe it was in Peter Pan line, and he was just chatting up with the guests in front of him, and he sharing some fun facts, if you will, and then they get off the attraction and they say, wow, you sure knew a lot about this ride. Thank you for telling us. And he couldn't stand it anymore, which was kind of like Walt. There are several instances where he wanted to reveal himself after all. So he goes, hey, Walt Disney, you know, at the end of the ride. So, but he would do that, you know, and you're right. He would always go out and get a feel in the park and wanted to know how we could constantly, as his words were, plus it or improve the experience for his guests. And he kind of insisted that all of his employees, Imagineers, high-level design executives, do the same thing. Go to the park on the weekends. I want you to experience mm-hmm. it. All I ask you to do is figure out how to bring a smile to my guest space.
Walt, as a visionary, when he first had the idea for Disneyland, he was criticized by those in the amusement park industry because they thought he was simply creating a Disney amusement park. No one really exactly understood what he had in mind and where he was taking what was known as the amusement park at that time and taking it to a theme park level and taking it to a family experience level. People truly underestimated what he had in mind.
Yeah, I mean, that was really fun. So Buzz Price, who was the person that Walt hired to find the location mm-hmm. for Disneyland and ended up doing that for Walt Disney World as well, also sort of had a special event at a hotel with liquor. And he invited all these amusement park operators to come and kind of told them what they were planning for Disneyland. And they said things like, Walt, screw your ideas about cleanliness and no one cares about custom rides and, you know, landscaping. He's mm-hmm. crazy to spend so much money on plants and flowers. Well, of course, that didn't discourage him. I'm sure, I don't know, but I imagine that completely encouraged him. But I kept that list of all the reasons why Disneyland will not work, that it was done in 1953, at the end of the book, because I felt like it was more perfectly placed there, because you've been reading about why it's such a success, and it kind of makes you laugh to think, boy, were they wrong.
Mm. And he revolutionized the way families recreate in this country together, because it was finally a place, Disneyland was and is to this day, where an entire family can go and enjoy the park on different levels for different ages, for different people. Young kids can go in there and look to the future. Older people go in there and they can hearken back to the past. And that's what Walt had in mind. And it was truly an immersive family experience. And in 1955, there were very few of those all across this country. There were hardly any. Disneyland broke the mold as to how families can spend time together.
Yeah, you know, it's a well-known story, you know, that Walt would take his daughters to Griffith Park and they would ride the carousel, and that kind of is one of the inspirations. And then he would go and look at the other amusement operations in LA, and there were some mm-hmm. but they were tended to be kind of dirty, and then when he would go around the world and look at amusement operations, not just that, but also county fairs, state fairs, national parks. I mean, he did a lot of research around the world for 20 years before Disneyland was built. That was the one thing he kept coming back to, is we need a place where it's clean, where it's safe, where the employees are kind, and where the families can truly have an adventure together, where they feel safe. Safe being another one important word to Walt in what he wanted with Disneyland. It is, you're right, he revolutionized it. And really, honestly, he revolutionized the idea of food and fun. You know, I mean, that's what I wrote about it mm-hmm. in Eat Like Walt. But really, who was thinking that you're going to have a making the kind of restaurants. They were happening in mid-century America. They were happening. He didn't invent that, but he certainly brought it to the next level, too, as part of the family adventure. And one of the restaurants was Plaza Inn, originally Swiss Red Wagon Inn. He wanted guests to have a fancy meal at a fair price. He bought this incredibly expensive chandelier in the remodel. He made all this sort of elegant, very important to him, elegant interior, because he wanted families, when they came to Disneyland, to be able to have a fine dining experience, if you will, that they might not be able to get outside of the park.
And he knew the park would never be finished, per se. It's funny, because I think back to that film he made in 66 when he talked about what his feelings for Epcot would be, that it would always be changing, that it would always be embracing new ideas. But Disneyland also follows that mantra under Walt, because it is a canvas always open to new ideas and expressions. He was always building upon the park. Things could always be improved. Things could change. Things could evolve. He always knew that the park couldn't stay static, that yes, there would be mainstays, but it had to change and it had to adapt. And he understood that, I think, better than anyone else.
He sure did, Ed, and I think that came from movies. You know, he would say that. When a film is done, it's done. I can't change it. And that was part of what he liked. As you said, this was a canvas. This was an ever-changing portrait that he could bless, and he did. I mean, Tomorrowland, when Disneyland opened in 1955, was pretty dull. You know, they'd run out of time and money. They were putting, you know, restaurant chairs throughout the land and, you know, using old sets, you know, to be an attraction. And he redid, in his lifetime, Tomorrowland. And so, yes, absolutely. And I think I really do give kudos and credit to those in Disney parks right now who are always looking at what Walt wanted and continuing it in parks around the world.
Was Walt ever completely satisfied with Disneyland? Did he know that he hit the mark, that he did what he really wanted to accomplish? Was he ever truly satisfied with what he saw?
No, Ed, that's the kind of question as a historian I have to say I don't know, because I can't ask him, and I have never really read him ever say that. Doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Right.
Very well, maybe. I think that the fact that it brought a smile to his face, it was probably his happiest place, it was his personal playground, it brought him so much joy and happiness, and he was watching the joy and happiness in his guests, that had to be completely satisfactory to him.
Final question. I'm 54 years old, and when I walk in there and I walk out of there, I still feel like a kid because I enjoy it so much. That feeling stays with me, all the stuff that we talked about. So, Marcy, why does Disneyland, why does the message of Disneyland, the lure of Disneyland, the comfort of Disneyland, why does it all endure in 2022 in a world which is much different from the world which existed in 1955?
Because I think it's the same as it was in 1955, and then it goes back to Walt, that his DNA, I believe, essentially remains in Disneyland. So all that magic and that wonder and that whimsy and that safety and that fun and the idea of being home, which a lot of us Disney geeks, I'm a proud Disney geek, call Disneyland or Walt Disney World, it feels like we're going home, that we're returning to something familiar, and that is why, to me, that it works. It's also this incredible suspension of disbelief, which is what Walt had intended, that whatever your worries were on the other side of the turnstile, that they're gone for the time that you're in Disneyland, and that it's carefree. And of course, it's just a visual delight to your eyes. And the smells at Disneyland are very purposeful, whether it be the smell of the water at Pirates of the Caribbean, or the smells that are, or aromas that are pumped out on Main Street USA. It is an olfactory overload, you know, in a way, but not a bad overload, like too much, just like there's just so much, again, those details. And it is, the only word I can use, it's just magic. And it's magic created by Walt Disney.
And that's perfectly said. And when you said that, you know, you talk about the olfactory references, and you brought up Pirates of the Caribbean. And yes, you could smell the water, and I can still smell the gunpowder as you go through in the... Yes, and it stays with you. And it's funny, even hearkening back to Walt Disney World, I remember the first time I went there as a high school senior, as our class trip back in 85, and the smell of the oranges in the old exhibit, Horizon, Horizons at Epcot. That still stays with me to this day. And it's amazing how your mind does that and how the memory stays with you forever on so many different tactile ways. It's incredible. Once again, this book is the perfect companion for your next trip to Disneyland, Walt's Disneyland, A Walk in the Park with Walt Disney, published by Disney Editions. It is available now. And you know, it also makes a great gift for someone. If you know they're going to Disneyland anytime soon, get this book for them now. It will enhance their experience so much. It is the perfect gift. Marcy Smothers, as always, I enjoy your conversation so much. Thanks for joining me here on The Weekend.
Thank you, Ed. And we keep promising each other we're going to go to Disneyland together. So
I know.
I'm holding that.
Is this damn COVID thing? It's like, you know, because I was going to try to get out there in what was it? In early in 20, that got wiped out. Then later in 20, that got wiped out. So then 21, you know what? I'm going out there in 22, no matter what. So yes, we will definitely do that. And we will walk Disneyland together. Put that in your address book. Put that in your BlackBerry, your iPhone, whatever it is, because we're going out there this year. Stay with us.
All right.
All right. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalecki, and this is The Weekend.